President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. When we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this November the 16th on the West Coast, now November the 17th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, as well as eastward across the Atlantic Ocean, throughout Europe, England, I should say Great Britain, actually, and Russia. We're heard in the Ukraine. We're heard in Australia, all the way down to New Zealand, Greece, South America, Central America, North America, Canada, pretty much all over the world, and on over 2,000 planets. Isn't it nice to be with such a large group of people this evening? In case you were wondering what happened, we had a false start. We couldn't actually hear the intro, so we didn't know when it was time to begin the show. In fact, that's why we have it. But that was a little technical glitch that's being worked out, and hopefully we won't have that problem the next show. So we apologize if you thought we disappeared. In a way, we were in no man's land as far as radio goes. Anyway, I want to thank Doug and Don Newsom for straightening out that issue, and we're going to move along. Now, tonight, I want to address, first of all, an issue regarding a, now I've got an echo, folks, so if you can help out with that. Don or Doug, if you're listening, there, okay, the echo stopped. Thank you. All right, I want to talk about an issue that has reared its ugly head again after about a year's time. In fact, to the day, now we're on November 17th, there was a letter which was, or an email which was sent to a man who decided he had to put this out on the internet, and it described a plane trip, which was both a visit and business, to a family in Northeast Ohio, and then a return flight to Houston, where this person allegedly worked as a diver for NASA in one of the research labs. And make a long story short, there was a stopover in Atlanta. I presume there were some passengers who left the plane, disembarked the plane at Atlanta, and some may have gotten on the plane. It was described as 11 Muslims in Muslim attire got on this plane, and as the plane was taxiing and the stewardess was doing the routine on all the safety equipment, the safety exits, the gas masks, or I should say oxygen masks, and what happens if there's a water landing, all of those little things they go through in preparation. And the story is that they had to subdue these people because they were talking on cell phones, standing up on the plane and wouldn't sit down, and you get sort of like another Todd Beamer kind of feel for the story. And what transpires after that is kind of crazy, but it sounds like something that could possibly happen at TSA. Those are all the things that we hear stories about all the time. And we don't really know. If we're not there to see it for ourselves, we can't assume that these stories are true. And I recall reading some little snippets of it about a year ago. Didn't think much of it. First of all, these stories are designed to foment hatred of law-abiding, well-meaning people who may happen to be of the Muslim faith or of Arabic background. Not all Arabs are evil. Not all Arabs are Muslims. Not all Arabs or Muslims are evil. Now, some are. I think there's evil people all over the world of every ethnic background. So to single out one ethnicity is kind of unfair, especially when you look at Zionism and what that's alleged to be. So without going into all that, why is this story out there? Well, it's to foment or recoup lost ground over the revelations that have been coming out over the past year about 9/11 and the reality of who's behind it and how none of the evidence makes any sense. But they don't care that it makes any sense because they're those that perpetrate these deeds are psychopaths. And so they're just going to, they don't care if we know they lie. They don't like to hear us disclose that they lie, but the media lies and everything. So this email made the rounds again today. And it's talking about the crew getting off the flight and then bringing a whole new crew on because the pilot and the co-pilot and the whole staff, didn't want to fly with these people. And the people were taken off the plane and brought back on the plane, allowed to go on the flight. Well, you know, it doesn't make any sense. And we have to consider that the whole story is made up. Now, the complaint in the email is that the mainstream media is not reporting this. But there's only one way that you can really determine if it's a true story, and that's to look at the claimed backgrounds of the individuals or to do a little bit of background looking into the individual that proffered this originally and the person that brought the email to the public as sort of a duty or a favor. And it's to make everybody look like they're a hero. They're informing of us of something that's going on. What, some Muslims got on an airplane? So that makes them terrorists. Or what if it was 11 talk show hosts that got on an airplane together? Would they be terrorists because talk show hosts disagree with what's going on and they're reporting the truth and what they can about the corruption that's going on? And how multidimensional it is? Well, it so happens that the person that distributed this email on behalf of the person who wrote it is alleged to have been born in Texas and been in the Navy, served in the Marines after that as a Navy medic and a Marine medic. And there was a story of 3.5 months prior to this airport event, there was a story about this other individual that brought the email forward. And it's sort of making him look like a hero. He works for NASA or worked for NASA. It's not clear if he still does or he doesn't. But there's a picture of him with John Wayne. And this is what's interesting because John Wayne looks like a poster of John Wayne sitting in front of a picture of some other guys. And the guy who brought the email forward is who's supposed to be somewhat of a hero for having his photograph taken with John Wayne. He looks like he's out of place in the picture. And the soldiers' uniforms are all different color, and they're not even the actual hue of military uniforms. It's all contrived to look a certain way in a shrunk down picture. But when you enlarge it and you start to see all these anomalies appear, and it's quite noticeable that it looks like the picture was taken near an oil rig, actually. I've had a couple of other people make the same comment about it, and there are some definitely photoshopped items in this. Maybe possibly even some anachronisms, certain types of cans that may not have existed on June 20th of 1966 when this picture was purportedly taken. John Wayne's wearing a black ball cap type of hat, and he's got coal black hair. His hair looks every bit as dark as his hat. And on the same day, two other pictures were taken of John Wayne, and one was him signing the helmet of Private First Class Fonzel Wolford's helmet. Okay, they signed the back of his helmet, the soldier's standing at attention. John Wayne is holding a notebook, what looks like a wallet-sized notebook that's opened up He's holding that open, and he's writing something. Maybe he pulled the pen out of that notebook. He's writing something on the back of the helmet, probably his name, maybe a little greeting or something. And he's got hair that's about the color of what appears to be a much lighter uniform. It looks like a tan uniform. And his hair is sort of sandy or grayish. In the perspective of a black and white photo, he's got medium to light gray hair. When I say medium gray to light gray hair. And then there's another photo of him walking with the general the same day. And his hair looks very gray, sort of whitish. Actually, it looks like possibly a general that's walking with him. And the general towers over him. Everybody said John Wayne towered over most people. I just found it rather interesting to compare this, because how could the man's hair be black one part of the day and then gray the second part of the day? Certainly he wasn't filming a movie while he was in Vietnam on a USO tour. It's obvious he's been compiled. So it points to fraud on the part of the individual who's claiming that he's in this photo with John Wayne. It's made to look like he is, but it's not a real photo. So it sort of debunks the rest of the story, where he is attesting to the fact that he received this email from his friend that works at NASA. He never mentions that he himself works at NASA. The friend that wrote this works there. But actually he works for Oceaneering, who does deep sea diving and technical work for oil companies. And they do outsourcing and offshoring. So that's the real background of this individual. And the connection is quite evident that there's some hanky-panky going on. The story's not real. It's absolutely not true. It's just designed to cause people to hate people by their ethnicity. You know, you have serial killers. Do people go around calling serial killers terrorists? No, they keep calling them serial killers. And many of them are programmed, even, by those that allow them to go out and murder tens or dozens of people, depending on how long they operate. We don't really pay attention to these fine points here, but a person who has a feature story in the Barnum Banner Press, dated August 3rd, 2009, and this event happens a couple of months later, they painted this picture of this individual being a hero in several ways. And he's not. In fact, the part about John Wayne is totally bogus. You'd have to base it on the date of the photo, as well as what's in the photo, who's in it. That shouldn't be, because it's not a real photograph. It's a compilation. It's a composite photo. These people were put piecemeal into the picture. And there may be some things that shouldn't even be in the picture in that time frame, such as the cans that they're drinking out of. They look like aluminum cans, not steel cans. So I wanted to mention that. I'm going to bring tonight's guest on, and we're going to talk about the various ways they play with our mind, setting up our belief systems to expect certain things to happen because of what we've been shown or what we've been told. And once we get a grasp of the truth, even if it's a little morsel of the truth, you have to pause and say, well, if this is untrue, why is the photo fake? Why would someone go to the extent to fake who they are or fake a scene? That's been something that I've proven over and over again in my political research and my governmental research. The research of infiltrators into this country who changed their names and created phony birth certificates and infiltrated the military and then started aspects of government that we never had, and just came up with all kinds of schemes to raise money and fund these things. And we're witnessing it in real time today. We just spent a couple of days last week with the usurper going over to the Far East and other parts, and there's already a report came out that said there was an attempted shipment of drugs to Chicago from one of the planes that had gone on this excursion with a regiment of soldiers and battleships and cargo planes and helicopters and who knows what else. And lots of hotel bills, I can tell you that. Hundreds of rooms. Somewhere between 550 and 800 hotel rooms being charged at a rate of about $200 to $250 million a day. And this, there are people living out in tents that have lost their homes because of this corruption that's going on. So I don't mean to go on ranting, but we're going to talk about some of these things. My guest tonight is an environmental scientist. He's an herbalist. He's a historian. He's a chemist. And he's done it all in that regard. And he's also a musician, my good friend, Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, Don. Thank you. Great to be back. And I just want to say good morning to everyone on those 2,000 planets as well. And I hope their translators are working fine tonight.
they speak English really well, I have to tell you. I'm appreciative of you letting me rant a little bit and discussing this topic, you know, because this is a reflection of the mind control that's out there. You know, we see somebody take the time to write out a detailed story and it seems plausible and it builds up anger. I talked to people who said that reading about that made them very angry that this is allowed to go on. But this is the intent. You see, I found enough information to discredit the person. You know, if it was in court, that person would be impeached. Okay? Their testimony would be stricken from the record if it was an honest court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because this person has fraudulently represented who they are and put images intended to depict that person as, unusual. Something to be almost worshipped or at least respected as if, you know, his affiliation with an alleged hero. I mean, how do you make a hero out of a movie actor? Don't get me wrong. You know, John Wayne was a great actor. He was a great man. He's known to be a patriot. I presume he was. I don't think he may not even have been aware of that picture. You understand? That picture was published, as far as I know, August 3rd of 2009. John Wayne may have never seen that. And it looks like they took his image out of a film clip and pasted it into this photo.
That photo definitely appears questionable, Don, just from observing it. But let me focus on the most important thing that you're bringing up, Don.
Sure, go ahead.
And that is that, for sure, the enemy is trying to manipulate our concepts about reality, and also they're very intent on making sure that we can't rationalize anything. And to me, Don, what's really, I mean, granted, okay, it's a valid point. We can't be holding any kind of, in particular, bias towards a race just because supposedly a certain sect or person from that race has caused some rampage, harm, violence, and crime. But nonetheless, at the same time, when, for example, you have a murderer going around and he's identified as a white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy, well, the police and the law enforcement, everybody on the trail of the murders trying to track down that murderer, they're going to have their eyes peeled out for a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Caucasian-looking individual, not a black, not an Oriental, not anybody looking Mediterranean, but specifically blonde-haired, blue-eyed. So why is it then, if supposedly Middle Eastern type people have caused 9/11 rampage here in our shores here and down New York City, then how is it that for the most part when people are getting, Americans are boarding flights, they're being checked for potential terrorists when they're clearly not even Middle Eastern looking.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is pathetically ironic and also proving that they're after Americans. They're not after anybody but the American people. The enemy within our government is zeroing in on Americans.
Yes.
Okay, and this is what's really outrageous, is that they're telling us that supposedly Muslims, Middle Easterners, are after us because they hate us because we're free, according to G.W., the bushwhacker. And yet, they're flooding us with Middle Eastern people, letting them migrate in here in droves, and as well as our borders are wide open. Now, does that make any sense to anybody with a rational mind? But they've managed to get the sheeple in our country so unbalanced mentally that they can't figure this out. They don't add one and one and get two. If there's a real terrorist plot against Americans and our country, then why the heck are our borders open, number one? Why the heck are they still flooding us with Middle Easterners?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't add up. It doesn't make any sense. Unless, of course, this is exactly what they want. And this is the kind of mind games with the mind control they play on people, especially here in our country.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And, you know, this whole Al-Qaeda thing, there have been people, if you do the homework, if you do the legwork and do the research, you'll find out there have been some people that have come out of the military or out of the intelligence agencies that are being truthful about what's going on. And they don't get the attention that the others do, the disinformationalists, the agents working to confound and confuse the story and throw smoke screens out, misdirect people on the basis of a topic and what their sensitivity to that topic is, or the potential implications that topic might have on them. When it's based in fear, it shows the source. Okay, it's describing a situation and everything in it is insane. Certainly, out of a whole plane load of people, only one person felt like they should communicate what happened on that plane. And it has this Todd Beamer sound to it, you know, let's roll.
Sure, John. All of their stories surrounding the event clearly are so difficult to believe. And it just doesn't add up. I mean, it's just keeping it down in the fundamentals and viewing it from that perspective, and nothing they say really adds up.
Mm-hmm.
If this is all legitimate threats, then why the heck are our borders wide open? Why the heck are they flooding us with foreigners coming in from the Middle East, let alone from other parts of the world? It doesn't make any sense, unless, of course, that this is all a ruse. And all they're doing is attacking us from every angle as an American sovereign country. They're attacking us from every angle so that they can totally destroy us. Mentally, they're attacking us, making us so we can't even fathom rational thinking anymore and connect dots and get one and one still equals two.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as through economics and through poisoning the environment, the food supply, the air, the water. And just taking away our freedoms left and right every chance they can. I mean, the latest, of course, with airport travel is that they're literally molesting people now that refuse to go through a scanner. And they're literally frisking everybody everywhere. Every part of their body is getting felt by total loser strangers in the TSA that have no justification, no right to touch any of us in such a way. And yet, and at the same time, again, do any of these people look Middle Eastern? And reports are that Middle Eastern people, and clearly people looking foreign, probably illegal, they don't get that kind of treatment at the airports. Now, if that's even true, and it most likely probably is, then, I mean, the evidence is just stacking up that none of this makes any sense. And our government is full of BS. They are the real enemy.
I apologize for interrupting. On 9/11, they already began blaming Osama bin Laden. Why did they fly his family out of the country?
That's number one right there.
I mean, if that's who you're looking for, wouldn't you at least keep his family?
Don't you want to at least interrogate them under the spotlight? Where's Osama? Where's your uncle? Yeah. Where's your dad? Where's your cousin?
Well, they were Bush business partners, and they were partners with other aspects of the government. Okay? They had to be protected. They were an asset to be used later on.
Sure, Don, absolutely. Okay. And this guy clearly defeats the greatest defense system and defense department in the world. These amateurs that just learned to fly in a couple weeks managed to defeat the best defense system in the world that costs the American taxpayer billions a year to run? That yes. doesn't add up.
Yes. Now, I want to take a moment. This is, you know, this is a has been a very hot topic. It's a very emotional topic with a lot of people. And by the way, I have not slandered or said anything mean-spirited about John Wayne, have I? You know, as I said, he probably doesn't even know this photo exists because it's really not a photograph. It's not something that he participated in. And it was created as a setup for this other event. You see, when you look behind the scenes at who's putting this stuff out, and I'm not even saying that, and I'm not naming the individuals right now, but the two people that were involved in this, may not have written it either. You need to think that outside the box, you see. But it shows who may have inspired it. That's a key to this whole thing. But I can tell you the story is bogus. We'll say it that way. We're on the radio. So.
Yeah, most likely it's just a cheerleading approach to get the sheeple into the cheerleading mode again and support our troops, go get the terrorists. They're all over the place. Go get them. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lame, very lame method and technique. But God willing, it'll keep unraveling on them, Don, and more people will wake up to the facts that 9/11 is clearly an inside job. There's no other way to explain it. Based on all the evidence.
Yep.
And there's a ton of it. You cover it all the time.
Yes.
And so the bottom line is the American people are under attack by a domestic enemy that is using everything it can to fluster us mentally so that up is now down and down is now up and wrong is right and right is wrong. This is exactly where they got us now. And a lot of fools in this country are accepting that, and they're no longer thinking, no longer using a rational mind, and no longer realizing that it's insanity that they're just trying to create everywhere.
Yes.
Insane conditions, and of course a constant state of fear.
Yes.
And so this is what's very obvious, and so God willing, it'll keep unraveling. And as more and more people wake up, and we can finally turn tables on these dirtbags and hold them accountable for this high treason and criminal activity and do the right thing and make them pay.
Yes. Now, I want to shift gears just a little bit. I think you and the audience might even get a kick out of this next bit I'm going to go into. But I want to preface it by saying that we've been inundated with every form of advertising, every form of commercial to sell pharmaceutical drugs you can imagine. And, you know, theme songs for certain pills that people recognize, and they have a sort of a subliminal effect on the listening, or the viewers and the listeners. And then, you know, it's usually 15 seconds of talk about the medicine or the drug and how it's going to make you better or, not experience anxiety or pain or sleeplessness or a weight problem or, you know, regardless, maybe even get your libido going. And of course, much of this is done without FDA regulation, because millions of dollars are being spent in the direction of the ad agencies and the broadcasters, who are all controlled by the government and a handful of owners. we have to tolerate this stuff, okay? You have to tolerate it. If, let's say you're watching a history program and you're very interested in that, then you have to sit through 15, 20, 25 minutes throughout the course of that program. You're listening to repetitive commercials about buying drugs. And someone took the time, in light of the fact that they're also selling alcohol on TV and on the radio and all the public venues, they sell alcohol. And they always end it with saying, drink responsibly. But you never hear about the side effects of alcohol. And I want to play a clip here that sort of points this out in its own unique way.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately, and with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy, and it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
And that's excellent.
There you have it. Now, that's how you do the commercial.
That's very well done. Excellent parody. So perfect.
I'm not recommending drinking tequila. I'm just saying if you're going to do a commercial about it.
It's a parody.
Yeah, it's a parody. In fact, they go into the products for about half of this whole spot, you see. I need to thank Bruce and his brother Scott. Bruce is in St. Louis, long-time friend of mine, and Scott also known almost as long as Bruce. And these guys are very, very awake.
That was creative.
And paying attention, so.
Yep, very well done. That's a good laugh, and yet it hits right home.
Yes,
this is what we're up against. This is how they operate.
And
I'm selling all kinds of crap to people as if it's really good for you, and you got to catch the fine print, the quick jargon, the quick blurb at the end of that commercial when they tell you, well, you could go blind, you could become sterile, you know, you could get a heart attack. You know, you could lose your mind, but other than that, it'll make it feel good, and that pain will go away.
Yes. the saxophone solo, by the way, you know, that song Tequila was recorded in Cleveland many, many years ago, and it's played by my friend Jimmy Madden.
Is that the original?
That's the original, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Sounded like it.
And Jimmy, even in his older years, his later years, played like that. Yeah, he was awesome.
It's a great tune.
So I was surprised to hear that. And what else could you play in that commercial?
You know? It's perfect. It's just a perfect production, a great parody, and it clearly highlights the problem and how they exactly operate on us. And it's great. I enjoyed that. But this is what we're up against. You see, people that are trapped in vices, they have no honor. They have no soul. There's nothing really redeemable about them. This is what we're up against. There's really nothing you can do with these people except hold them accountable and dispose of them properly.
Yes.
I mean, this is what they intend on doing to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, over the past few weeks, Michael, and we really didn't plan anything specific for tonight, and I think we can take advantage of that fact and talk about a bunch of different things. On many of the shows you've done with me in the past, you've been talking about responsibility, or we both have, and consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and the difference between the producers and the non-producers and who they are. And when you look at things that way, you begin to see very clearly how everything's operating.
Right.
You know, that you had written a piece that you sent in an email to somebody, and you forwarded a copy to me, and I said,
yeah, he's a professor.
Yeah, we have to do a show on this. You know, we did. We talked about this a couple of times. This aspect that there are those that create and they do the work and they produce the goods, the products, the services, and there are others that take from that productivity. That's all
yes,
they do
Don.
Is take. You see?
That's right, Don. And you know, I mean, producers will take too, but you're referring to non-producers, which not only just take, but they don't produce anything.
Well, that's what I mean.
Right, exactly. But I'm just clarifying it further.
Yeah,
that's right.
Taking and partaking.
Yeah, that's right. Off producers, but they themselves do not produce anything to support their own way of
yeah.
You know, to support their own sustenance for a living. And therefore, they prey and feed on those producers, and they'll drain them over time. And the bottom line is, the more non-producers a country has, then the country has no future. That's all there is to it, because they'll just drain the producers until there's none left. But if the country, vice versa, is full of producers with very few non-producers, the country's got a tremendously bright future. The economic engine will be a dynamo, a locomotive, and all that production will generate prosperity and well-being for its citizenry, the people of that country. And that's how it was going in our country for quite a while, until the traders really established themselves throughout our government and through our economic system and all the institutions. And they essentially just pulled the plug back in the mid-90s is when it really started. Pulled the plug from the wall to cut the juice off that was supplying the USA with a dynamic energy.
Yes, yes. And there are scams coming out of the woodwork. Every kind of story, every kind of spin, every dimension of a possibility without including the truth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to go out and dig up the truth. But see, when you find the truth and it comes more frequently and more rapidly, okay? Frequently in terms of the number of times, but frequency, can go on without pause, without break or separation. And once you discover the truth of a topic, the truth doesn't go away. It stays there. You'll always have that perspective of understanding, well, if this is the actual situation, then all the rest of this stuff off on the periphery has to be false. Why pay attention to it?
That's right, Don. One's truth is established in one's concepts of reality, then you have a solid reference point or a compass that you constantly can refer to
mm-hmm.
when you come across more information as to whether or not it's valid. Exactly. That's the only way we can operate, really, in the same way as we live in this world. You got to have truth as your foundation.
Now, there are those that struggle with that, because when they come to the truth and they say, oh, that just can't be, you know, can't be that my government is corrupt.
It just, or they want to kill me.
Yeah, yeah. or that the food companies are trying to kill us, or the pharmaceutical companies, or the military, or
mm-hmm.
the banks, or the oil companies, or some of the religions, you know, the religious institutions.
Sure.
And those
Catholic Church,
you know, it's all become so corrupt, and it's not just a superficial thing. It's not a blanket statement. it can be backed up with voluminous amounts of data. And it is routinely backed up. And then the stories come out to try to counteract or defend itself against that truth that's come out, you see?
Right, Don. There'll always be the disinfo agents that they send out to muddy up the waters of all those that are tracking down the truth. They're on its trail. They're pursuing it diligently. And therefore, the enemy has to muddy up those waters so we're thrown off the trail, so confusion sets in, and we no longer are sure, really, about what the truth is. That's their job. That's what they're excellent at doing. But they can't stop the truth, and they can't stop anyone from using their mind properly and correctly. And it's through virtuous living. There's no other way it comes. I mean, this is the secret to everything.
Well, you know where I think that begins, Michael? It begins with each individual. You know, it begins within the heart of each individual.
Right.
And we've had every great prophet, every great philosopher, every holy person that ever walked the earth tell us to know thyself. You know, we should know who we are. That in and of itself is a lifelong pursuit for anybody.
Lifetimes.
Okay. Well, of course, but in this life, as everybody's here who's listening to this right now, that's your moment to look inside and really discover who you are, because that savior you're looking for, that leader that you're looking for is you.
Well, ultimately, that's all true, Don. Ultimately, that's all true.
Now, I'm not leaving God out, or I'm not leaving.
But that's the only way you can find the leader in your being, is by having the good Lord, the Almighty, centered in your heart. Because that's where courage comes from. That's where comprehending, perceiving and comprehending the truth will come from. Everything good will emanate from that. Once it's you link to it, once it's established in the center of your being, which the heart center is the center of our being.
Well, that in and of itself, that truth that you just stated, eliminates the need or the requirement to have someone lead you someplace.
Well, that's okay. No, well, see, Don, we all will have leaders leading us, because there's always somebody further ahead down a trail. And some people are rookies just starting off on a trail. A good leader or a good sheepdog, those people are just like little sheep. So you need the sheepdogs that are going to guide them and steer them in the right direction.
I'm speaking more in terms of, let's say, like government leadership or political leadership. But you see,
that's just a contradiction of terms.
Yeah, exactly.
There was real leadership that so many people in our country are looking for right now, and we're not getting it through any of those sources, because it's contrary to their nature.
They're just waiting for that person to come along, you see, and they'll
So many are. No question. We all are, because you know we're waiting for the Lord to return, because we need a real leader. And if the Lord doesn't return to do it, then please, Lord, send us somebody that's going to set the example, blaze the trail further for us. And so that's normal, and it's good, and hopefully those kind of leaders will soon show up.
What's wrong with awakening oneself?
Awakening oneself is the key to individual freedom, Don.
Sure.
Okay, individual freedom.
Sure.
Okay, but as this country goes, it needs some serious leadership from individuals that can then lead the masses. You know, basically, a leader is an excited electron on the atomic level of conceiving or using an analogy for this purpose. An electron that jumps its orbital shell. Mm-hmm. And then, as a result, the whole atom changes. You see? That one atom has now affected all the protons, neutrons, and other electrons. The whole mass of that atom was now affected by that one electron jumping in orbit to another higher level. Higher state.
Well, doesn't it depend on what level or what vibration or what frequency they're being led?
Nonetheless, at the atomic level, anytime you have an electron jump its valence shell to a higher one, that the rest of that atom has been affected by that.
Oh, I don't know. I don't dispute that. But when
right. And so as an analogy, see, that electron is a leader. And now, because it just jumped, it advanced itself. Now, the whole mass that it's tied to has also been affected by that. And that's what leaders, you see, do. They affect everything by their actions. And they're a little ahead of the crowd, but the crowd recognizes that those actions are appropriate for them. And just by the effect of the actions occurring all by that self impacts everything else.
The point I'm trying to make here, Michael, is that you don't just have good leaders. You have bad leaders. You have evil leaders.
That's true, Don. Technically, I wouldn't call them leaders by definition, but I got your point.
Yeah. I'm saying, but see, there are people that follow those people, like they followed Hitler.
Yeah, they go astray.
Or they followed Mussolini.
Wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yes.
That's correct.
So we have a dichotomy. Remember that electron has its dichotomy.
Well, we're in a world of duality, and that's why we can never drop our guard, as we're constantly being led and directed towards some place. We have to thoroughly evaluate everything before we head in that direction to be sure that it's the proper direction to go in. And the wolves in sheep's clothing are excellent for preventing people from doing that, preventing them from actually understanding that they need to think it out before they react to their ploy, and they just rush headlong, they just rush right into it. And that's how they get trapped. They stop their thinking process. They just, just like all the people that voted for Obama, hope. Gotta hope, Mike. Hope. Obama going around campaigning the whole time. Hope and change. Everybody stop thinking that voted for him. I just gotta hope. This guy, he's gotta be the guy. He's gotta be the leader. I'm hoping he is. And they didn't investigate him in any way, really pursued the real facts around this loser, and therefore know that they're wasting their vote if they want a real leader that's going to help our country.
Well, discernment is part of that, too.
It's all discernment, Don.
Yeah. So
it's all discernment.
The thinking process is a process that occurs in conjunction with the discernment.
And you can only have good discernment when you have truth as your foundation, as your compass that you can constantly refer to be assured that you're still going in the right direction, true north.
Well said. So when these emails, these fear mongers come out of the woodwork writing these stories that sound genuine, that sound plausible, except when you see the outcome, you say the outcome is ridiculous. Well, it's intended to create anger in the person that's imagining this. Everyone's going to see it a different way in their mind, depending on how conscious they are. And the probability of this occurring when you read the whole email, and I owe that to the audience tonight, I'll probably read it one night. When you read the description of what occurred allegedly on November 17th, 2009, in Atlanta, on a stopover from Cleveland on the way to Houston, you can only determine that because these people were Muslims, or actually, that's a premature conclusion, because they're wearing Arabic garb, but they could be atheists, or they could be Christians, or they could be Hindi, or Buddhists.
Or just Muslims that are just regular people.
Yeah. but to say, because they're on the plane and they have cell phones, well, how many of the other passengers had them? Maybe they weren't talking. Maybe they were all talking to someone back home, letting them know they were on their way. Or maybe they had a problem and left something, in the hotel. Or maybe they were just talking to each other. Something as simple as just talking to each other, because they were spread out over the plane. They couldn't get their seats next to each other. You see, all these conclusions are drawn because everybody is in this mold of thinking that, the Muslims are doing this. And But we don't hear him talking about the Zionists or the Israelis and their involvement in 9/11 and other false flags.
Yes, Don, the enemy wants us to war with the Muslims, and that's why we're over there destroying their way of life, wiping out civilians. Come on, military. Look, you know what you're doing. It's wrong. You should be home. Cleaning house at home. How dare you go to your neighbors and tell them you're there to clean up their house when our house is worse? Come on, military. Do the right thing. Get home. We got a foreigner as a president, and you're following his orders? That's outrageous. You're under oath to uphold our Constitution, protect our country. And so here we are abroad, Don, harassing Muslim people, and for the most part, they're just regular people like us. I don't acknowledge their religion as really being a good religion, okay? I don't. But nonetheless, I don't harbor any ill will towards any of them. Now, the wackos that are radicals that are supported and financed by these Zionist scum, sure, cut them down, mow them down. And they're here. They're not over in those other countries for the most part. But here we are abroad harassing them, and they're going to hate us, rightfully so. And then they show some poor guy getting his head chopped off, and then they, of course, promote again the panic, the fear, the terrorists, and all that. At the same time, though, I say, look, if an enemy comes here into my country and invades me, they're the insurgents, I'm going to kill them. I'll chop their head off and say, look, this is what's going to happen to you. You guys, if you keep coming, because you don't belong here.
I can tell you and the listening audience that I receive news as well as other people in a foundation that I'm a part of that we have been funded, and the money's in a Bank of America account, and they will not release the money. This is so, you know, this criminality touches home.
Oh, it's all here.
And these funds are designed to do things like create jobs and stuff like that. Well,
That's
they don't
right.
want that to happen, but it's not their
That's
money.
Right.
You see, it's not their money.
Well, you know, Don, it's all a big lie. Everything's a big lie. Just like the debt itself, you know, we're in debt. We're not in debt. It's all phony money, people. It's counterfeit. They are the counterfeiters. The Federal Reserve note has no value. Our government is illegally borrowing it. It's against our laws of the Constitution for our Congress to no longer assume its rightful authority in printing our money supply, so there's no debt associated to it. They've relinquished that authority without the American people approving that relinquishing, and now they're allowing a private cartel to print the money, and then they're borrowing it from them with daily compound interest. That's all there is to it. It's that simple.
And they're stealing what they make.
Yes, it's all fraudulent. It's all fraudulent. And with that phony money, they get rich because then they buy real wealth. Real property, gold and silver, businesses,
mm-hmm.
with phony money. That's the biggest racket going.
You said
There's
it.
There's
exactly,
no debt.
Exactly like I would have said it. The same order.
word Thank for you, word. And so how do you get rid of that debt? Very simple. You go like this. Wipe your hands. We don't owe you racketeers anything. And as soon as we get our hands on you, you're going to be swinging from tree limbs. And then we get real money back out through our Congress, real legitimate sovereign U.S. currency, without any debt attached to it, and we start our economy right off from school, get going again. We don't owe anybody anything, and none of the other countries owe anybody anything either. They're crooks, and that's it. That's all there is to it. Let's get our hands on them and get it over with once and for all.
Yes. Now, on past shows, Michael, in the closing moments here, I want to mention this. There's a new movie, a documentary film, I should say, that you can get online, either on YouTube in 10 parts or on Google in its entirety. It's 1 hour, 34 minutes, and 22 seconds. It's called The New American Century, The PNAC Exposed. Now, we've talked about this topic on many shows
mm-hmm.
over the past 4 years, and this document that was asking for a new Pearl Harbor.
Right.
To foment a war or wars in the Middle East.
All prior to 9/11 with this document.
Yes, yes.
Right.
And it goes into a lot of background on the people that put this document together.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Cheney's and Donald Rumsfeld's and Paul Wolfowitz's and
The usual cast of characters.
Yeah, yeah. It goes into great, great detail and connects lots of dots. And what's interesting is that they did it in a viewable form for those that find it beneath them to read. So all you have to do is look at the screen and listen to what's being said. Use discernment, but trust that there's a lot of solid research that went into this. It's not made up stuff. Now, when they start blaming Arabs for 9/11, that's when you shut it off. Just shut it off at that point.
Right.
But I don't think you're going to hear that. You're going to hear how Al-Qaeda was created, and we've talked about that on this show, and how they foment wars because it's a racket. As Drew
sure.
Malone Raine's great-great-uncle, Smedley Darlington Butler, wrote.
And what ultimate racket could you have for perpetual warfare than a terrorist plot where there's no real country?
Yeah.
And these terrorists are, you know, they don't wear uniforms. They're not identifiable in any real way. We just have to rely on our government telling us, well, they're terrorists. They're terrorists. They're not, but they are. They're not, but they are. It's ridiculous. And they come and go like the wind. They're invisible. And all of a sudden they appear and then they're gone. Poof. And then they're back. It's incredible. What insanity for anybody to feed and buy into that BS line. It's all a ruse.
Yes, they lie about everything. We say that night in, night out. We say they lie about everything. So don't look toward the mainstream media to tell you the truth, because that's not their role. You've been led to believe that what you see there, what you hear there, is the truth. They're the ones selling the products, folks. I'm not selling anything here. And I don't get paid for selling anything here. This is about truth. This isn't a profit motive. If anyone gains anything out of it, they gain the truth and they gain a perspective on life.
Well, you see, Don, this is where everybody, and you're, of course, you know, we're preaching to the choir. Your audience, I'm sure, is all very sharp and they know as much about this as we do. And of course, let's analyze the truth so people can get a good understanding of what we're talking about. When it comes to, say, mathematics. And if you don't know your math well, and if you don't know that 1 and 1 equals 2 and 2 times 5 equals 10, you're not going to get too far in this world, especially with your finances. Who's going to argue with that? Nobody. So you've got to know the truth about numbers and math so that you can protect your interests. And so that's how it is with truth. We have to understand the truth on all subjects. That way we have the reference point, we have the foundation work ingrained in our being, and nothing can deceive us. Nobody can fake us out, because we know 1 and 1 always equals 2, no matter what they say.
Yeah, I agree. And that applies to any of the sciences.
Every topic.
And that, history, definitely. I mean, they write the history. They write the history. That doesn't mean what they've written is true.
That's right. I mean, look, today the history they're writing for the kids are knocking the founding fathers as a bunch of losers and no good and slave owners and bad men. Oh, and Don, they shot British and they were terrorists, actually. This is where, according to FEMA,
they can't pass a majority of students who know how to read, who know how to do basic math. Basic arithmetic.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah. And so what they do is they turn everything on upside down, especially today. And so you have to have truth always in your pocket so you can make it through this life without anything really taking advantage of you. I mean, with truth again, you can ignore that gravity's a real law of nature. You can pretend all you want it doesn't exist, and everybody's crazy that talks about gravity, believing in it. But one day, you're going to be in a high spot, and you're going to step off that high spot, and you're going to fall right down and hurt yourself because you ignored gravity, or that fire is hot. Anybody going to argue that it's not true, that fire burns? And so you have to know the truth on everything before you dive into it so that you don't get burned.
Yes. That's true. Well, Michael, we got to close out the show. but I appreciate your allowing me to rant and share this story. You know, the message at the bottom of that email that we opened the show with was, you know, send this to everybody. Make it go viral. You know, well, that's what they want. Help us brainwash everyone.
That's right. keep promoting perpetual fear.
Yeah, and the illusion.
Okay. Yeah, and the deception. The deception and illusions, that's correct.
And that, you know, the illusion is the opposite of the truth. Illusion is imaginary. It doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It can become real in a belief system, and that's how it's done. And they'll say, oh, well, we don't speculate on theories. No, this isn't a theory, okay?
Don, you know, the beauty of the truth is you can't kill it. You can kill the messengers, but the truth will never die. You just can't kill it.
Well,
and
you don't even kill the messengers. You just the most you can do is cause them to leave their body.
Well, physically kill them.
Yeah.
And but you can't kill the truth. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't leave. And the old ancient Persian prophet who was a great man of his time, great man, well known. I mean, Omar Khayyam to this day. And his saying, "Truth stands the test of time. Lies are soon exposed," and that covers it all. Truth is always there; you can't get rid of it. But lies, the illusions, they come and go. They come and go. They come and go because they don't hold up over time because it's not real.
Yes, I agree. Well, Michael, thanks for being on the show.
It was a pleasure, Don. Thank you.
I know we have you scheduled for later on. Do we have you on again this month? I think we don't. This is actually.
No, I think that's it for this month, pal.
Well, we'll have you on in December for sure, because I know we'll probably talk. I'd like to do a show with you on this concept of the pagan Christmas holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And get into that a little bit.
Sure, that sounds great. Always love to talk about the good Lord and anything pertaining to him.
Okay, well, I wish you the best, and until we meet again, folks, if you haven't checked out Michael Anthony's private stock, go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on sponsors, and check out what he's got. Those of you suffering from chemtrails, you need to look at these things, and there are some remedies that will cause you to be able to resist the evil that's being sprayed down upon us and many other health issues as well.
Absolutely, Don. If anybody needs anything with health related problems, feel free to call me. I'm more than glad to help, and I have a lot of expertise at that. And you know, Don, just to wrap it up real quick, here we are in New York. We've had a lot of cold weather over the last few weeks for sure. But ever since summer wound down all the way up to now, I mean, I'm still wearing shorts. I do wear a sweater when I go out, but I'm wearing shorts all the time with just sneakers still. Don't get a sniffle. Still a dynamo. And so obviously, in order to do that when it's cold out in the 30s and 40s and still dressing like that all the time, obviously, you got to know something. And I'm more than happy to share it with everybody. So thanks for that, Don.
Okay. And trust me, you can call Michael, you can email him, the information's on my website, and he'll be happy to consult with you and explain what you got to do to get your health together.
It's all simple.
Yes. Okay, Michael, thanks again, and until the next time, we'll be looking at having you on. I have some requests that you try to come on the show on Thanksgiving. Are you doing anything on Thanksgiving?
Don, I will, if you like, I'll make sure I avail myself for that show. That would be great. Always a lot of fun. I enjoy it, and your audience is great. So anytime you like, Don, I'll do my best to avail myself, and that looks good.
All right. If we do a live show that night, then I'll be certain to invite you on. Okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
And you'll be filling in for my good buddy, Drew Raines.
Well, that'll be an honor then.
Okay. All right. Well, you take care until we talk again. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and tonight's guest, Michael Anthony. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. Over at BBS Radio, Doug Newsom on the sound tonight. Also want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Don't miss tomorrow night's show. I've got Christopher Holmes, Ph.D., coming back on the show. We're going to have a very, very interesting discussion. This man has been writing books left and right, and the information needs to come out. And it's going to address a lot of issues that people have about self-empowerment and then empowering ourselves as a group together. So tune in for tomorrow's show. In the meantime, I want to thank you for listening and tuning into the show. Support BBS Radio. If you feel it in your heart to do so, you can subscribe to my archives. And it's a very simple process. Just click on the subscribe button, and it'll take you through the process. You can download all the shows on BBSRadio.com for an entire year. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.